Chapter 31, Wholly Unanticipated Occurrences. Flora watched Ulysses fly over her, his tail extended at full length and his front paws delicately pointed. It was just like her dream. He looked incredibly, undeniably heroic. "Holy Bagumba," said Flora. She climbed on top of the booth so that she had a better view. When Incandesto flew, when he became a brilliant streak of light in the darkness of the world, he was usually headed somewhere to save someone, and Dolores was always flying at his side, offering advice, encouragement, and wisdom. Flora wasn't sure exactly what Ulysses was doing, and it didn't look like he really knew either, but he was flying. "George Buckman," whispered her father. "How do you do?" Flora had forgotten about her father. He was looking up at Ulysses, and he was smiling. It wasn't a sad smile. It was a happy smile. "Pop," said Flora. There was a long, loud scream from Rita. "It was in my hair," she shouted. Someone threw a donut at Ulysses. A baby started to cry. Flora climbed after the booth so that she could stand next to her father. She slipped her hand into his. "Wholly unanticipated occurrences," said Flora's father in the voice of Dolores. It had been a long time since Flora had heard her father say those words. "His name is Ulysses," she told him. Her father looked at her. He raised his eyebrows. "Ulysses," he said. He shook his head, and then he laughed. It was a single syllable. "Ha!" And then he laughed longer. "Ha! Ha! Ha!" Flora's heart opened up inside her. "Do not hope," she whispered to it. And then she noticed that the cook was leaping and twirling, waving his knife and trying to reach the flying squirrel. She looked up at her father and she said, "This maleficence must stop, right?" "Right," said her father. And since her father agreed with her, Flora stuck out her foot and tripped the man with the knife. Chapter 32, Sprinkles.
"I love Flora. It was in my hair. Sunny side up! Splat!"
"I flew.
Where's Flora? Is that a piece of donut?"
"Sprinkles, sprinkles, sprinkles, sprinkles."
Chapter 33. Does rabies itch? His eyes were closed. His head was bleeding. Flora knew from Terrible Things Can Happen to You that head wounds bleed excessively, whether or not they are bad. "All head wounds bleed excessively," she said to her father. "Don't panic." "Okay," said her father. "Use this." He handed her his tie. Flora knelt down. She had a very powerful sense of déjà vu. Was it just yesterday that she had bent over the body of an unknown squirrel in Tootie's backyard?
"Ulysses," she said.
She dabbed the blood with the tie. The squirrel didn't open his eyes. An eerie quiet descended. The whole of the giant donut became preternaturally calm. Everything, the donuts, the squirrel, her father, seemed to hold its breath. Flora knew what was happening. She had read about it in Terrible Things Can Happen to You. It was the calm before the storm. The air becomes still. The birds stop singing. The world waits. And then the storm comes. Inside the giant donut, there was a moment of deep quiet, of collectively held breath. And then someone said,
"I think it was a rat."
"But it was flying," said another voice.
"It was in my hair," said Rita.
The cook shouted, "I'm going to call the cops. That's what I'm going to do."
Rita was right behind him.
"Forget about the cops, Ernie. Call the ambulance. I have rabies. It was in my hair."
"You," said Ernie. He pointed at Flora with his knife. "You tricked me."
"That's her," said Rita. "She's the one. Plus, she brought that thing in here in the first place. Dressed it up like a baby doll."
"I did not," said Flora. "Dress him up like a baby doll. And this is all your fault."
The criminal element said that sometimes it is wise to put criminals on the defensive by making slanderous or blatantly untrue comments. The surprisingly unfairness of the tact will often stop criminals in their tracks. It seemed to work. Rita blinked. She opened her mouth and closed it again.
"My fault?" she said.
Flora bent over Ulysses and put a finger on his chest. She felt his heart beating in a slow, thoughtful way. Gratitude and relief washed through her, and her own heart, which had been beating much too quickly, slowed inside her chest. It answered the squirrel's heart with its own measured thud, thud, thud.
"Ulysses," her heart seemed to say, "Ulysses."
I'm calling the cops, said Ernie.
George Buckman, how do you do? Shouted Flora's father. Is there any reason to call the police?
Well, for one, said Rita, it was in my hair.
Do you think that the police should be notified of a squirrel in your hair? Said Flora's father. The idiocy of this question, the unsettling logic, made Flora suddenly grateful for her father. She picked up Ulysses and cradled him in her left arm.
I think I can feel the rabies coming on, said Rita. My stomach itches.
Does rabies itch? Said Flora's father.
I'm going to call somebody, said Ernie. She tripped me.
Whom do you think it would be wise to call in this matter of tripping? Said Flora's father. He opened the door. He gestured for Flora to walk through it. She did. The door swung shut behind them.
Run, said her father,
and they both began to run. At some point, Flora's father started to laugh again. It wasn't a ha-ha-ha kind of laugh. It was a woo-wee kind of laugh. Hysteria, thought Flora. She knew what to do for hysteria. Her father needed to be slapped. Unfortunately, there wasn't time right now. They had to make their getaway. Her father laughed all the way to the car. He laughed when they were in the car. He laughed as he placed his hands at 10 o'clock and 2. He laughed as he backed out of the parking lot and drove away from the giant donut. He stopped laughing only once, long enough for him to shout, "Holy Bagumba!" in a voice of Dolores the parakeet. And then he went back to laughing. Chapter 34. The Getaway. They were making their getaway, but they were making their getaway slowly. Because even when Flora's father was thinking that things were hilarious, even when he was talking like a parakeet, he still apparently did not believe in speeding. Flora kept looking behind them to see if they were being followed by the cops, or Rita, or Ernie. When she finally looked down at Ulysses, his eyes were still closed, and a terrible thought occurred to her.
"What if he has a concussion?" she said to her father.
Her father, of course, laughed.
Flora tried to remember what terrible things can happen to you, said about concussions.
There was something about making the person with the head injury speak a favorite nursery rhyme, so the speech pattern, slurring, etc. could be evaluated.
Flora stared at the squirrel. He couldn't speak. Also, she doubted he knew any nursery rhymes.
There was a very small cut in his head, but the bleeding had stopped, and he was breathing softly and regularly.
Ulysses, she said. And then she remembered, in its entirety, and an ominous sentence from Terrible Things. It is absolutely imperative that you keep the potentially concussed patient awake at all times. She shook the squirrel gently. His eyes stayed closed.
She shook him harder. And he opened his eyes and then closed them again.
Flora's heart thudded once, then dropped all the way down to her toes. She was terrified.
The superheroes died? She said out loud.
Her father stopped laughing. Listen, he said. We won't let him die. Flora's heart thud again. A different kind of thud. It wasn't fear this time. It was hope.
Does that mean you won't try to hit him over the head with a shovel? She said.
I won't, said her father. Ever? Ever. You promise? I promise. Her father looked at her in the rearview mirror. Flora looked back.
Let's go to your place then, she said. He'll be safe there.
At these words, George Buckman started laughing hysterically again. Chapter 35, Fear Smells. Flora's father never walked through the hallways of the Blixen Arms. He ran, and Flora Buckman, holding her possibly concussed squirrel, ran with him. Flora and George Buckman ran because the Blixen Arms was owned and managed by a man named Mr. Klaus, who was in possession of an enormous angry orange cat, also named Mr. Klaus. The cat, Mr. Klaus, prowled the hallways of the Blixen Arms, peeing on the resident's door and vomiting in the stairwells. Mr. Klaus was also notorious for hiding in the green gloom of the hallways and waiting for some unlucky person stepped out of the door of his or her apartment, or into the main entrance of the Blixen Arms, or down in the basement laundry room, and then pouncing on the person's ankles, biting and scratching and growling, and sometimes, weirdly enough, purring. Flora's father's ankles were deeply scarred.
The cat can smell your fear, Flora shouted as she ran.
It's a scientific fact!
She had read about it, about fear in the Terrible Things Can Happen to You.
Fear smells, said Terrible Things, and the smell of fear further incites the predator.
Ahead of her father laughed his hearty and seemingly endless laugh.
If Flora had more time, she would have said, "For the love of Pete, what's so funny?" But she didn't have time. There was a squirrel to save. Chapter 36. Surprise, Anger, Joy. Flora stood and stared at the sign on apartment 267. It was made of fake wood and engraved with white letters that spelled out the words, "Residing within the doctor's Mishkam." What was the apostrophe doing there? Did the doctor own the Mishkam? And what was it with the exclamation marks? Did people not know what they were for? Surprise, anger, joy. That's what exclamation marks were for. They had nothing to do with who resided there. But at this particular moment, the exclamation mark seemed entirely appropriate. It was terribly exciting that a doctor who didn't know how to use apostrophes lived in apartment 267. "What are you staring at?" said her father. He was putting his key into the door of apartment 271, and he was laughing softly. "A doctor lives there," said Flora. "Dr. Mishkam," said her father. "I'm going to see if he can help you, Ulysses," said Flora. "Excellent idea," said her father. He opened the door of his apartment. He looked to the left and then to the right. "Keep your eyes open for Mr. Klaus," he said. "I'll join you in a bit." He slammed the door just as Flora raised her hand to knock on Dr. Mishkam's door. But she didn't get the chance to knock. The door swung open of its own accord. An old lady stood there smiling, her dentures glowing white in the perpetual green twilight of the hallway. Someone inside the apartment was screaming. No, someone was singing. It was opera. Opera music? "At last," said the old lady. "I'm so glad to see your face." Flora turned and looked behind her. "I am speaking to you, little flower." "Me?" said Flora. "Yes, you, little flower. Flora Bell, beloved of your father, Mr. George Buckman. Come in, little flower, come in." "Actually," said Flora, "I'm looking for a doctor. I have a medical emergency." Of course," said the old woman. "We're all of us medical emergencies. You must come in now. I have been waiting for so long." She reached out and yanked Flora over the threshold of 267 and into the apartment. The criminal element had a lot to say about entering the home of a stranger. They suggested that you do so at your own risk, and that if you did make the questionable decision to enter the home of someone you don't know, a door to the outside world should be left open at all times to facilitate a quick escape. The old lady slammed the door shut. The opera music was very loud now. Flora looked down at the hand that was on her arm. It was spotted and wrinkled. "Beloved," thought Flora. "Me?"